Hello and welcome to a new series from D1Baseball.com. We are calling Fourth Coach Conversations. I am your host, Michael Patrick Rooney. Happy Sunday, everyone. This is the sixth edition of this. It has been awesome so far. Really excited to spend the next hour with these guys. Before I go any further, let's say thank you to our presenting sponsor. That's Netting Professionals. Netting Pro specializes in the design, fabrication, installation of custom netting for college baseball programs all around the country. Next time your field or facility needs something new, make sure you check out the guys at Netting Pros. These guys are awesome. Huge, huge supporters of baseball at all levels, but particularly college baseball. So, gentlemen, good evening. Happy Sunday. I got to tell you guys something. All right. So I'm going to tell a quick story because I want to spend as much time with you guys talking as possible. So you've probably heard me say this. I'm a former volunteer. I'm a former fourth coach in the late 90s. I got to do this at Arizona State. And, you know, for the audience that doesn't know much about this position, this is the entry level position in Division I baseball. You're an on the field coach. I mean, you're instructing Division I baseball athletes, but you can't be paid by the school. You can't have benefits. You can't go out on the road and recruit, which is really problematic. And so, you know, it's not just us that are doing it, right? It's our families that get concerned. And I became the volunteer at Arizona State when I was 28, going on 29 years old. And, you know, many of us had already had jobs. And tomorrow is my mom's birthday, Peggy Rooney, the great Peggy Rooney, Peggleberry, as we call her. And my mom's not a sports person. My dad didn't love the idea of me volunteering, but he's a sports guy, so he got it. My mom was way over her skis, not into sports. However, she loves her kids. So, you know, we all have these funny stories when you're the volunteer trying to make it work financially. And one of my funny stories is my mom. Now, remember, guys, I'm age 28, 29, and 30 when I'm the volunteer. My mom is sending me a check for $60 every month to help me with groceries. Like, all the humility, bring it, right? Like, just like, here we are, 8 years out of college, and still I got mom sending me $60 a month. But Peggy Rooney, you're not listening to this, but happy birthday tomorrow. We love you. And we still appreciate the $60 checks. So, gentlemen, there you go. I had to get a happy birthday in there. So, guys, let's jump in here. Let's get right into this thing because, you know, it goes so fast. It's been so fun. It's a chance for me to get to know you guys, the audience to get to know you guys. As I've said to everybody, to me, I view this as the first of many conversations. You guys are the lifeblood of our profession. And so we're going to go around the horn with these questions. Let's start with kind of an intro. So, Ryan, you're going to kick us off. Name where you're at currently and take us from where you grew up, high school, all the way through your playing career and now your coaching career. Go ahead.
Sounds good. So name's Ryan Feynman. I'm actually I'm at University of New Orleans right now. I started out, I was in California. That's where I grew up. Played at Agora High School. I ended up signing with Indiana University. Played 4 years there, three under Lemonis and then one under Jeff Mercer. I signed with Tampa Bay Rays and then played with them up until I guess COVID, and then got lucky, got a job as a recruiting coordinator at Chipola Junior College with Coach Johnson. And then as of a few months ago, I just took this job over at New Orleans with Coach Dean.
Now, Ryan, were you recruited by Tracy Smith's staff or were you recruited by Coach Lemonis?
I was recruited by Lemonis. So my funny story is I was actually committed to Notre Dame early on. And then
how dare you?
Next I know. I couldn't stay out of that state, apparently. Apparently I couldn't stay in California, but I committed there for about a year and a half and then decommitted, and then they kind of swooped me up about a month or two later.
That's awesome. Where were you must have been just dying when Coach Lemonis won the whole thing at Mississippi State. That must have been super cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, Coach Lemonis is about the best person on earth. I would say he's a father figure, everything. So there's no one better to win that. So I was excited for him, Coach Cheeseborough. So,
hey, so last question, then we'll keep going. So when you were at Agora, is Harvard Westlake in your guys' area and one of your rivals, or is it not really the same area?
It's the same area. They're in a different league because they're a private school. But it was always kind of us and them for who had the better players. They usually whoop up on us a little bit. So it's always nice to try to beat them.
Who were the famous Harvard Westlake guys when you were there? Did they have any of the draft guys?
They had Giolito. They had Freed. They had Flaherty. So safe to say I didn't get my back going very often.
That's a pretty good high school rotation.
No doubt.
Love it. No doubt. Awesome. Cool. Matt, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Matt Greeley, currently at NJIT, New Jersey Institute of Technology. Had a different path than most, I would say. Was born and raised in Juneau, Alaska. Went to Juneau Douglas High School, home of the Crimson Bears. And then, go Bears. And then started my playing career. I was at Walla Walla Community College and got my associate's degree there. In Walla Walla, Washington, and then went to University of the Cumberlands in Williamsburg, Kentucky. Was there for a year and realized I wasn't good enough to play there, so I tried my hand at another program and finished at the College of Idaho. And from there, started coaching. I was a grad assistant at the College of Idaho for a year and then moved back to Alaska and got my master's degree and coached at Thunder Mountain High School for 4 years in my hometown, and then started the college coaching again. I went to Everett Community College in Everett, Washington, and that summer coached for the North Sound Emeralds, was the head coach down there. And then from there, went to Arizona Western College, and while I was coaching there in the summer, I coached in the Alaska Baseball League for the Matsu Miners for 3 summers, and then moved across the coast to Coppin State University and was there for the last 5 years and just started this semester at NJIT.
Gosh, Matt, you are the most awesome example of one of my favorite parts of baseball is that it makes the world smaller. You know, it's amazing how, and think about all the places you just rattled off. It is so cool. And the fact that your head coach is Robbie McClellan, who we coached at Arizona State and grew up in Southwest Kansas. And by the way, your Matsu Miners, that was an absolute dynasty in the ABL at the time. So that is beautiful. The great Benny Taylor.
There were some quick games up there. A lot of 2-hour ball games.
That's right. Bomb bats. Let's go. Excellent. Chris, go ahead.
So I'm Chris Bosco. I'm a volunteer at Northeastern University in Boston, Mass. I grew up just outside of Boston, North Andover, Mass, like 30 minutes north of Boston. Went to North Andover High School, the Scarlet Knights for Coach Doolin, and then went on to Roger Williams University. It's a Division III school in Rhode Island. A lot of Division III, Division II baseball up here in New England. We got a lot of colleges. A lot of college baseball. So played there, graduated in 2019. Was very lucky that Coach Glavin hired me at Northeastern. So that was my first year, that COVID year. And then this past year, so this will be my third year here. So year three, very lucky to still be here. So
Chris, as a D3 kid that's from the Northeast, did you play in any of the summer leagues up there, like the New England Collegiate League? Big or any of that type of stuff?
Yeah, I had a short stint in the, I played in the NECBL 1 year with a temp. But I played in, we also have a lot of good, smaller college leagues up here too. I played in, it's called the Intercity Sure. League right around Boston. So yes, a little bit.
So, and I saw in your bio that you in college, you were a catcher, right?
Yes, I was a catcher.
And you threw like a bazillion guys out. So, you know, like your percentage was outrageous. Was that for, I have a two-sided question. Like would you say that was more arms ranked or you were more, you were super quick, and why were people running? Was there not a scouting report that said this guy's throwing everybody out?
I didn't have a rocket arm. I would say I was pretty quick and put it on the bag a lot. So much more just putting it on the bag. And then the other thing is I think, probably product of playing Division III baseball in New England, there's it's a lot of cold games and a lot of base running and a lot of trying to steal any way you can. So, I don't know, but I'm glad they did.
That's
keep
awesome.
Running. I had my best friend was my second baseman, and he picked a lot of really bad throws for me too. So
that works too. Hey, last one for you, Chris. So you got to go to Fayetteville last year for the regional, right?
Yeah, we did.
So give me like at that sphere, there's, you know, a handful of them like that, I suppose, in college baseball, but that one is pretty amazing. Give me your impression of Fayetteville.
Well, I mean, my initial response is, I don't really like Fayetteville because of, NJIT,
right.
Them in Nebraska knocked us out very quickly. But you know, it's like you said, it's an awesome college town. I mean, just driving around, they got the big frat houses. They got the beautiful athletic facilities. The athletic facilities are insane. So the whole place, it's a college baseball, the ballpark, obviously the ballpark is the best college ballpark in the country for a reason. They say it every time at the beginning of the game. So, yeah, very lucky to have won, had a great run last year, won our conference and got to play there. So very cool to go there.
That's awesome. Gotta love it. Brandon, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Brandon Van Horn. This is my second year in New Mexico State. I'm from Los Angeles, Southern California. Went to St. Francis High School. And then I went to Riverside City College for 2 years, played for Dennis, and then went out to Dallas Baptist for one. Played for Heath and got really bad grades and had to come back home. And spent the next year and a half at an NAIA school in Santa Clarita called Masters College for Monty Brooks. And then I got drafted out of there and spent the next 5 seasons with the San Francisco Giants. I was able to parlay that all the way up to AAA and then got released into about halfway through the pandemic. And Coach Kirby gave me a call and my wife and I were actually living in Boise at the time, oh, my now wife, and hopped in the car. And 17 hours later, you kind of stop right before you get to the border and we're in New Mexico. We've been here ever since.
That's awesome. So Brandon, so you mentioned Dennis, who is Dennis Rogers, the legendary head coach at Riverside City College. Man, he is a legend. So describe Dennis Rogers and give me your impression of Dennis Rogers. One of my heroes in coaching.
He's a silver fox.
He is a silver fox.
Absolute mental ninja. I guess the best way I can describe Dennis, it's funny, my 2 years there were his last 2 years, and we used to have these 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m. mental meetings. Like, imagine that, right? And we'd be so mad. And half of the stuff, all these, crazy stories and analogies and life lessons that at the time you're like, dude, what are we, what's happening? And then it's funny, I always used to tell him and Rudy Arguez, who's still there. I'm like, I think every single year after I was at Riverside, some situation would come up in my life, especially on the pro ball side of things. And I'd be like, Dennis told me that 4 years ago. And then the next year something would happen. And then I'd be like, Dennis told me that, 6 years ago. But he was unbelievable.
That's awesome. I had always heard stories that he was, he held coaches to a high standard. Like if you're one of his assistant coaches, like the fungos got to be on point. The BP's got to be on point. What a program too. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, unbelievable. He used to stop infield outfield all the time just to make sure the coaches were right. God, what's going on?
That's awesome. Hey, Hunter, can you hear me? I know it looks like you're kind of clicking in and out. You got me?
Yeah, you got me. Can you hear me?
I do. Yep. You're up, man. Go for it.
Sorry. I lost connection there. I don't really know what happened. So sorry about that, but
you're good.
Yeah. My name is
Hunter. We can hear you clear.
Okay, cool. My name is Hunter Loescamp. I'm the volunteer assistant at Northern Kentucky University, just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. I grew up in Cincinnati, actually played my high school baseball at Milford High School on the east side of Cincinnati, signed with the University of Cincinnati out of high school, played there for 2 years. And I actually transferred to a junior college, Sinclair Community College in Dayton, Ohio. I'm really successful there. Played for a coach that went to two NJCAA World Series. So he's actually now our recruiting coordinator here at Northern Kentucky, Steve Dittiman, works with Team USA Baseball. So great guy. And then after that, I finished up at Huntington University in NAIA school in Northern Indiana. And I coached there for the last 3 seasons as a recruiting coordinator there. And then I was hired here at Northern Kentucky in July. So I've been on staff here a few months.
Love it. So Hunter, Coach Dittiman, as I understand it, Sinclair Community College was not a powerhouse in baseball. And then Coach Ditt gets there and then turns it into an absolute machine. What part of that, program building were you part of? Had already kind of got rolling when you got there? Were you kind of there as a player on the front end of it?
So I transferred in the fall, in the winter of 2015. The first World Series they went to was in 2016. The second, it was in 2018. So When I transferred in, he had been getting a lot of quality players to come in, not only out of high school, but guys that are bouncing back from D1 schools. So we had a good amount of talent with little scholarship money that he made it work. But he's great at what he does. He's real big on mindfulness, slowing the game down, approaching the game a different way. So he harped that on us. We did journaling, imagery, all that kind of stuff, day in and day out. And I think that's part of the reason we were so successful. We won 51 or 52 games that year, finished third in the nation at the NJCAA Division II level. So good run.
That's awesome. Man, I need Coach Ditt to jump on my butt about journaling. I'm such a believer in it and absolutely don't do it. I think it is such a, yeah, it's one of my bigger regrets, man. I think journaling is awesome. I need somebody besides my wife to make me do it. So
allows you to get a lot of your thoughts on paper. So,
yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Super. Yeah. Therapeutic. And then I think about the posterity part, right? Like just something to lean on down the road. So that is a great nugget right there. Ryan, hey, this one will be a kind of a quicker whip through. So give me your areas of expertise. You know, it doesn't have to be like your top area, but just areas that you feel comfortable coaching, teaching, et cetera. Go ahead, Ryan.
You know, I really enjoy coaching catching. I had a passion for that when I played, and it's kind of all I really study it now still. And I still enjoy coming down and still catching bullpens when I can. It's just enjoyable for me. I love guys that just work their tail off while they do it, take passion in it. I mean, you manage the whole game. I mean, you set the tone for everyone, so I really enjoy a catch that really will give it his all every day. But other than that, I'll still do. I'll work with hitters as well.
Sure. Makes sense. Go ahead, Maddie.
Hey, can you hear me? It says I'm.
Yes, sir.
Mute. Okay, awesome.
You're good.
Yeah. So, you know, initially, I'd say my expertise field was pitching and team defense. Here at NJIT, I'm working with the outfielders, first base coach and base running, and then assisting Coach Papaccio with the hitters.
Love it. Were you a left-handed pitcher or right-handed pitcher, Matt?
I was a sidearm submarine right-handed pitcher.
No way. How old were you when you went to the low slot?
I went when I was about 15.
And your idea or coach's idea?
It was purely survival. I don't think I would have had a chance to play had I not gone down. There's not a whole lot of power throwing mid-70s right-handers. You got to drop.
Yeah, Juno is not known for cranking out the velo. Were you like side or like all the way down?
I was kind of like one quarter.
Yeah. That's great.
Not a true knuckle scraper, but not to the side. It was like one quarter.
Oh, that's great. Hashtag low slot joker. Thank you for that. That is awesome. Chris, go ahead.
So I coach at Northeastern. I coach the outfielders. And then I assist Coach Puccio and Coach Glavin with the offense. So I do a lot with the offense, a lot with the outfielders. I also, like you said, I was a catcher. So I feel really good about catching as well. And I, you know, volunteer. So I'll help with the pitchers. I'll help with whatever needs to be helped with on that day. But I do outfielders and offense for us.
Love it. Brandon, go ahead. Are you muted, Brandon?
Yeah. How's that? Are we good?
Good. Gotcha.
Coach Pritchard and I work with the hitters here and I do the infielders.
Excellent. And that's what you were too, right, Brandon? You were an infielder?
Yeah, I was a shortstop all the way up until later in my career, and then one game at short, one game at third, one game at short, one game at second type of deal.
Yeah. Love it. Cool. Go ahead, Hunter.
I was a catcher in college. I'm the catching coach here at Northern Kentucky. I also work with hitters, and I do a lot of the base running stuff. So I'm the first base coach, so implementing the new school, old school stuff, making guys aggressive, going first to third, putting pressure on the defense. So I do catching and base running.
This is great. So you were a catcher when you played, Hunter. Is that what you just said?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
That's awesome. Guys, we've had so many catchers on these calls, and that just makes me feel like the profession's in great shape because catchers always make great coaches. This is awesome. Hey, so Ryan, we're coming right back to you. So you guys have maybe seen this question before. So pick one area, whatever area that you're most passionate about, and boil down some of your core philosophies in that area, three sentences or less. Go ahead, Ryan.
Okay. I'll talk about catching. I like a guy that can manage a game from any standpoint of catching. Obviously, you got to be able to receive, throw, block, but I want a guy that can really just manage a game and be a leader on the field and off the field.
Love it.
That's all. I got it.
Ryan, follow-up question. Did you tell me about who are some people that taught you how to call a game? I think it's a tricky thing to learn. Like, how do you call your own game? Who are some people that influenced you in calling your own game?
Originally, when I got to Indiana, it was Kyle Bunn. He's one of the one of the best dudes I know, and he kind of just set the tone. I was able to start as a freshman there, and he kind of just he teach me day in and day out. This is why you call this, and this is what you need to be doing. And kind of through my career, I had Coach Parker as well that went there, and right now I got Dax here, who he might be one of the best minds in the country for calling pitches. So I'm able to learn every day through that.
That's awesome. That is great stuff. Yeah, that's really good. The Coach Bunn is at Houston now, right? I think he's at UH.
Yeah, he's mistaken. Yep, he's over at Houston. He got there about 2 months ago.
Yep, perfect. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, so the group I'm most comfortable with is pitchers. So for my three things for pitchers, I think number one is, you know, just the ability to win even counts consistently. 0-0, 1-1, 2-2, and get the first out of the inning with that. I think those are two huge keys for pitchers to have success. The second thing would just be, you know, developing the ability to execute and repeat out pitches. I think that's a big separator for pitchers. And then the third would be just knowing who you are as a pitcher. And when the game's on the line, pitching to your strengths. I'd say most guys either get outs going into out, up to down, front to back, or just with pure stuff. And pitchers that don't know which of those they're able to do tend to struggle a lot more than those that kind of know who they are as a pitcher.
Gosh, that is some good stuff right there, Matt. So do you feel like guys have a what's more common? Guys come to your program and they come to college baseball and they have a misconception as to what their actual out pitches are, or is it more they're not even thinking along those lines and you have to help them kind of identify or create an out pitch?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think a lot of guys, you know, they might have been a power pitcher in high school. And then when they get to the college level, maybe initially they're throwing just right at that nitro speed that gets hit really hard. So they have to be, right. Their margin of error is a lot smaller, and maybe they just haven't developed some of those out pitches. I would say a lot of the guys we're seeing don't come to college with three polished pitches or necessarily command of more than one pitch. I would say most guys have control of a couple pitches, but few of them come to college and have command where they can really put the ball in and out of the zone where they want it to. So, I mean, I think just developing those things is super important.
Yeah. Gosh, isn't that what we're always looking for in recruiting too, is just give me any kind of out pitch, right? Yeah. That's good stuff. Chris, go ahead.
I'll just touch on what I've really enjoyed coaching here the last couple of years, just the team offense. Like I said, I assist with Coach Puccio and Coach Glavin, and I think what they have laid out and is very much what I believe in too, just like a strong, relentless team offense that's versatile and like I said, relentless, where you can, depending on that day, you can smash balls out of the yard, or you can, bunt for hit, get on base, hit by pitch, dirt ball read, bunt guys over, move guys over, you know, execute with two strikes, execute with runners in scoring position, just being able to have all the clubs in your bag. You know, I mentioned before, you know, Northeast College baseball, you don't know if, you know, we play at a big ballpark too. You don't know that day if the wind's blowing in 20 miles an hour and it's raining, you know, you're not going to be able to just smash balls in the gap all day. You know, you got to win games different ways. And that's the type of kids that we have on our team too, are just, you know, tough, athletic kids that can do a lot of things. So I think that really plays well with that. Like I said, just like that hard 90s, hard turns, bunts down, just a relentless overall team offense. I really believe in the way that we do it, and I love it. I love it's a great style to watch. You know, when you're, it's great to know that, you know, at least we're going to give ourselves a chance today because we're going to run the bases hard and we're going to execute if we need to.
I love that. Ironically, to me, I consider that a very West Coast style. Like Mike Gillespie, the legend Mike Gillespie, used to talk about the complete baseball player. You know, it's,
yep.
Wait, do you, yeah, Chris, do you get two questions? Do you guys, do you feel like you guys bunt for a hit more often than you sack bunt? Or is it both are in play for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, both are definitely in play and it depends on the guy, but I think a lot of times it's a bunt for a hit, especially with, with, you know, our speedy athletic guys. Like even if it's a sack bunt situation, a lot of times that first one is a bunt for hit, and then you move to sack bunt. But we love the bunt for hit. We love the safety squeeze, the bunt for hit. Those are awesome.
And are those kind of like pregame and in-game conversations where you guys are talking to your players about, hey, this is this kind of day, so we need to deploy this part of our offense? Or is it more free flowing than that?
It's a little bit of both. You know, sometimes you can see it coming. You know, you see a guy on the mound that's you know, a stud, and you're going to have to manufacture runs, or, you know, it's going to be a cold, windy day out there and you're going to have to. And sometimes it just happens. You know, sometimes it's 75 and sunny and you just can't hit that day. So you got to be able to steal bases. You got to be able to get dirt balls. And I think another part of that is just having guys, you know, like I mentioned, the speedy guys, sure, they know that they're bunt for hit guys, but having those bigger power guys be able to sack bunt or be able to get dirt ball reads. And so just, you know, up and down the lineup, being able to do those types of things.
Love it. Oh, that's good stuff. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, no, that was cool. I'll piggyback, or sorry, this side, off of the team offense. Y'all talk a little hitting, but that's kind of what we believe in here is you got to be able to do multiple things, especially with the way the game's going. You got to be a complete hitter, and maybe not so much into everybody having being able to drag or push, but controlling the zone and watch the strikeouts. So the first thing I'd say is just understanding timing. Like, what is timing? What does that look like? Because, you know, like, let's say if you're late to the bus, then you got to walk to school, and nobody want to do that. Two, and we take that into camera angles. So our guys, that's the camera angle from the first or third base side. So you got to understand timing. Two, what are we swinging at? The best guys that get drafted out of college and they get paid, they control the strike zone, walks the strikeouts. That's the way the game's going all the way from big leagues to high school. So what are you swinging at? And then two, or then three, after that, we can get into, you know, the side angle, and you got to have a bulletproof swing really that plays in any type of weather, any type of situation against any type of pitcher, any type of day. And that's what we look at as far as being a complete hitter.
Brandon, just a follow-up question. There's such tradition at New Mexico State where for offense, the air, the environment is extreme in favor of the hitter. So, and you've been in some really good baseball environments, clearly being from SoCal and all the places you've been, but are there parts of your guys' offensive philosophy that do, like I'm thinking, I've never coached in Las Cruces, but I'm thinking, gosh, I would have a tough time with hitters in Las Cruces that said, hey, I always take a strike like that. It just feels like every ball that's in play at your place, it's got to like people in the dugout are in scoring positions, for God's sakes, the way the ball moves in your place. So is there a part of your guys' offensive philosophy that does have something to do with the environment, or is it more just like, hey, we're coaching good offense and the environment will just be kind of sprinkled on top of that?
I think it's the second one. When we showed up, I think whether we're here or not, or whoever plays here, they're going to have good numbers because of
right.
The, you know, the atmosphere and the wind and all that stuff. But we really made it a point in recruiting and the way we run the offense here is that we're going to be a good offensive team, and we're going to lead, you know, the conference in walks to strikeouts and on-base percentage and hits and extra base hits and RBIs. And it doesn't matter where we play. And then when we come home, then our numbers will inflate. But I think it can almost hurt the boys more than it helps them, because they relax a little bit when they come home. or they just bank on coming home and then, you know, you then try to lift a little bit more. Or now if you don't go 3 for 4 that day, you put a little bit more pressure on yourself because you should be doing damage at home. But I think when you put enough emphasis on being such a complete hitter and it doesn't matter what your environment is, that when we come home, yeah, we'll put up big numbers, but it's not because we're home. It's just because we're a good offensive team.
Boy, that's good stuff. Excellent. Go ahead, Hunter.
Yeah, for us, I'm going to stick with the offensive theme again. For us, I talked to our guys about the 3 B's of offense. So barrels, bases, and bunts. So when our guys go up to the plate, we're looking to absolutely crush barrels, hit balls in the gap. Bases is obviously working our base running system, trying to take extra bags when we can, dirt balls, moving up 90 feet, getting a guy to third base with less than 2 outs. So sack fly or hard ground ball, score them, and then bunting we have to. So we're not going to be a team that's going to stand up at the plate and hit the ball out of the park. So we have to be really good at bases and bunts. But still, even with barrels, we have guys that can hit the ball hard that have typically been singles guys that we're trying to introduce some more backspin approach so they can hit balls in the gaps and still have extra base hits and bring some production to the offense.
Hunter, consider the 3 B's stolen. That is outstanding. I love it. And, you know, I feel like your guys' program is so, like, I think power and slug, you know, and so I love those other two things as a way to take advantage of, you know, the size and strength of your offense. And, oh, man, that is great. 3 B's. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. So, Ryan, kicking back to you, let's do this one. You guys can tell me about one team. And it's a team that you played on, could be when you were younger, could be, you know, any, doesn't matter. But you could tell me about one team and tell me why you picked that team. That, you know, I would say maybe your favorite team you ever played on, could be the highest achieving team, whatever. You guys go wherever you want with it, but you can tell me about one team. Which one are you picking and why? Go ahead, Ryan.
I'm going to go my junior season at Indiana. That was just a good team, man. That was a bunch of best friends playing the game they loved for a coach they really loved. I mean, it was fun. We ended up losing the championship against Texas at Texas at the regional. But besides, it was such a fun year. I mean, it was every game you were just dreading the game was over because you're just having so much fun with your buddies. And along with that, I mean, you're getting better every single day with that coaching staff. And then, I mean, when you get to go to the ballpark with 30 of your best friends, I mean, it's pretty dang fun.
Was that you guys were an at-large bid that year, Ryan, or were you guys an automatic bid from the Big Ten?
We were at large. We ended up winning it next year, but we went at large. We went 2 seed to Texas, and we got A&M first game as a 3, so that was fun. But we ended up losing that first game and making it back to the finals, and we ended up losing the last inning to Texas. So
yeah,
that was exhilarating.
Kind of not human that year. That was crazy.
Yeah. Well, our plan was not to pitch to him, and he ended up finding a pitch to hit, and he did his damage.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, that was the plan. Everyone in the country knew not to pitch the guy, and yet it always happened. There's always
one. I mean, he hit a pitch that wasn't even close to a strike, and he peppered it off the wall. I've never seen something like it.
Yeah, he was superhuman that year. It was amazing. Yep.
No doubt.
Matt, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to open up the yearbook to my junior year of high school. A very memorable time for me. We ended up winning the state championship in Alaska, and all 9 of our starting group ended up playing college baseball or professional baseball, which is very rare in the state of Alaska to have that kind of depth on Alaskan roster. So I'll never forget it. Our high school field is all dirt. Infield and outfield is all the exact same surface.
No way. Dirt outfield? Never
play dirt outfield.
That's great.
I'll send you a picture,
please. Hey, and Matt, there's no college baseball in Alaska, right? Like, there's no do any of the colleges in Alaska even have baseball? So you guys all had to go to the mainland, basically.
Yeah, everybody had to go to the mainland. Yeah, so a lot of guys would go, you know, in the summers in high school, they would go down to Washington State or somewhere else to play summer baseball, and then after high school, if you wanted to play, you had to go somewhere else. Alaska doesn't have any.
Gosh, that's awesome. God, that's really cool. Well chosen right there. Chris, go ahead.
I'll go with my last year playing college baseball my senior year. That was probably the best team, the most fun team I've ever been on. I think similar to what you guys said, like it was just, we were all so close and all best friends. And I was just talking to one of them today, just about how, like, we were just, you know, playing for each other, and just every day was, you know, go to the game, go get dinner together, go hang out together. Just it, everything was together, and we all loved baseball and loved being there. So, and it was the last, you know, senior year of college, last few months of school. So that was definitely the best time I've ever had playing.
Love it. Very cool. Go ahead, Brandon.
My year in high A, in San Jose, that was a lot of fun. We were a pretty good team. And a lot of those guys are having some really cool success now, but we were just a bunch of clowns, really. it's funny to think of it now, you know, but there's just a lot of fun stories that we did we literally did everything together. And that was such a cool group. Cause I always tell you, you know, like in college, that's your best time, and you make your friends, then you won't have that at the next level. But we really were able to have that, you know, with all double celebrations and hanging out afterwards, and still in the same group Snapchat to this day.
That's awesome. Hey, anybody gotten to the big leagues from that group so far, Brandon?
Yeah, a lot of them. Probably you guys probably know Webby, Logan Webb. He had a lot of success this postseason. But yeah, I think Webby was like our second or third starter. And Duvall was on that team throwing 103 mile an hour wiffle balls.
Wow.
It's like, yeah. But we were all super tight. Like it was really cool. It's probably as close to college baseball as you're going to get up there. And it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Very cool. Go ahead, Hunter.
Yeah. My favorite year was 2016 when I played at Sinclair Community College. We made the JUCO World Series, as I mentioned before. I was out of school before, University of Cincinnati. Didn't really work out. I transferred at the break, and everybody there just welcomed me in with open arms. I transferred in December, and it was the best 6 months of my life. We started clicking, we started winning. The mental imagery, the mindfulness, all that stuff was brand new to me. I was an infant in that. So just working through all that stuff and kind of growing my knowledge of the mental side of the game just really helped me a lot. And obviously for my coaching career as well. So, great year. Met a bunch of great guys that I still catch up with. And obviously I'm coaching with the guy I played for. So it couldn't have worked out any better for me.
That's cool. Who'd you guys beat to go to the World Series, Hunter?
So we actually did not win our conference that year. So we kind of had a strange route. We played Vincennes Community College, beat them. And then we beat, I think, Kellogg in our regional, and then ended up finishing third in the World Series. So got knocked out by Jones County, Mississippi.
That's really cool. Very cool. All right, boys, let's keep cruising. So here's this next question. So this is more an opponent that you played against. And the question is this: a part of a program that you've played against that you really, you know, I think we're always doing that as coaches. Like, hey, when I'm a head coach someday, I really like the way this program did X. Like I'll say, we got to coach against Cal State Fullerton. One of the things I loved about their program was their hitters were really free swingers with no strikes. And then everyone in that lineup, 1 through 9, was willing to go bunt for a hit with one strike. And it just the buy-in to that offensive approach and that culture. So, you know, I could mention, you know, Matt Deggs, and when he was the running the offense at Louisiana Lafayette, that way guys were drilling balls in the gap and over the fence, and then they'd also bunt for hit. They ran the bases. They were really fast, and it felt like 9 free safety. So you guys could go anywhere you want with this. It's got to be an opponent, a program that you've played or coached against where you feel like, hey, they do this really well, and I'm really intrigued by that. Go ahead, Ryan.
Well, one stands out pretty easily to me was Minnesota. I don't know if it was just against us. I never really looked too far into it, but I don't know that they ever missed a barrel. They never swung out of the zone. I mean, it was the most impossible team to call a pitch to. I always ask their hitters, like, hey, so what are you guys doing, like, in the cages and stuff? And, like, they're just simple. Oh, yeah, we don't hit tee. We just do this. And I'm like, no, like, what are you guys actually doing? Like, there's got to be a secret. Like, it's – you put up 12 runs in 4 innings against our Friday night guy. Like, what's going on? And they were just simple. They attacked fastballs in the zone, and they never missed them because that's what they truly believed in. They all had a philosophy and they all bought into it. And it was year after year. Like, it was like, oh, we're playing Minnesota. Here we go. And so it was, we'd have to bash to match them.
Gosh, that's all. You know, it's funny that they had a really down year last year, but it's very easy to forget how good Minnesota's been for the last 40 years under John Anderson. I mean, they've been to a million regionals and, you know, I had their 2018 super regional where they were, you know, if they don't get sent to Oregon State, who knows, maybe they do end up in Omaha, but yeah, that's a great call, Ryan. Matt, go ahead. Oh, you're muted. If you're speaking, Matt, you're good now. Oh, no.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Good.
Okay. Awesome. I'm going to go with LC State in Lewiston, Idaho. The way I would describe them is just presence. I mean, their team had an automatic bid to the NAIA World Series, which I don't know any other sport that has that, but I think they would have made it every year. I played against them regardless. It was just a really veteran group. There wasn't any breaks in their lineup. It always felt like you were behind 2-0 with them and they were getting off their really good swings, aggressive in all phases of the game. And it just, every game felt like a bar fight with them. It was really uncomfortable to play against them.
Was Coach Sheff still the head coach when you played against them?
He was. So I think my last year at College of Idaho might've been his last year, as the head coach.
Oh, and you guys would have played them anyway, just being in the state. That makes sense.
Yeah, they were in our conference. That was our road to go to Lewiston was through them.
Now there's a dude with presence, Coach Sheff. I never got to watch him coach, but just seeing him at the ABCA and clinics, I mean, that dude walks in the room and you sit up a little straighter. He is no joke.
As far as teams that take on the personality of their coach, I mean, his team is exactly like him.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, great pull. Go ahead, Chris.
I'll go with another Big Ten team too. You know, only coached against them one game. We played one game, but Nebraska, we played them in the regional last year. And there's just the way that they showed up and just were so consistent and just like didn't say anything, didn't do anything crazy. They just fielded every ball, all their pitchers threw strikes. And watching the rest of the regional, you know, saw them do this the rest of the way through too. They just threw strikes, fielded every ball. Everyone was good with two strikes. Everyone was on the barrel. It's just, there's something about, you know, I'm from Boston, I'm a Patriots fan up here. There's something very attractive about just a team that does not do anything to hurt themselves. It's just, you do what you're supposed to do. You're always in the right place. They were a top 10 team in the country fielding percentage wise last year too. So they just did everything they're supposed to do. They didn't say anything about it. They weren't chirpy. Nothing. Just did what they were supposed to do and were really, really, really good. And it's, you know, tough draw for them with Arkansas, but.
Yeah. But they gave Arkansas everything Arkansas wanted and more, man. That regional was highly contested. It started with NJIT Arkansas bring Copps in the fourth inning in what was supposed to be, you know, like the game that Copps doesn't pitch. So yeah, that's a great call, Chris. Brandon, go ahead.
Yeah, that U of A team last year, offensively, obviously, you know, Coach Johnson is where he's at for a reason. He's had the success that he's had recently. But, you know, our approach here, and we talk about it until we're blue in the face, is you got to be able to do what the game's asking you to do. And I'm sure what the first six hitters that weren't freshman All-American got drafted in the top 10 rounds. You're like sitting there and, you know, you want to be as competitive as you can as a coach. And you're like, you know, we're in this game in the fourth, but it's just a matter of time. And that's how they played right all the way through the regional up until Omaha. Is that offense is like, if 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 didn't hit a double, then 7 did. And if 8 did, then, you know, they can move it to the right. They can pull side. They can 2-strike it. It's really cool to watch.
Yep. Gosh, they have this expression. I might have the order mixed up, but I saw it on t-shirts when they were in Omaha. It's a ball or it's a line drive. And that was it. Like, it just, when you watch that offense, that's what you feel like. Either they're taking a ball or they're scorching a baseball somewhere. That is well done, Brandon. That's a good pull. Hunter, go ahead.
Yeah, we played University of Cincinnati a few weeks ago in a fall game. They're right up the road from us. It's like a couple miles away. So The thing about them, I think, is that they're I don't know if free swinging is the right word, but they go up there looking to do damage at the plate, which I love. They're trying to backspin as many baseballs as they can. Guys are swinging with intent, swinging the bat hard, looking to not just hit the ball, but hit it a long way over the fence. So Kyle Sprague and Lee Sponseller at University of Cincinnati, they do a great job. Our pitching coach over there knows them real well. So they do a phenomenal job with their offensive approach to things.
Yep. Yeah, Scott, Coach Googans is great. Yeah, that's a good call right there. All right, coming back to you, Ryan, here's another question I got for you guys. So, you know, a lot of you guys are early on in your coaching career and early on in your recruiting career, regardless of whether you can do it off campus or on campus. But I think it's like scouting in that players teach us lessons, right? And so I'll give you an example. I want you guys to name a player, could be a teammate, could be a guy you've coached, that you feel like has taught you a lesson in recruiting or impacted the way you will recruit. I'll give you an example. I'm the head coach at Phoenix College in 2007. We had really struggled. We finished dead last in our part of the Arizona Conference 2 years in a row. We're trying to change the culture. And one of my favorite people in our game, Mike Zunica, is a coach at St. Rita's in Chicago, the Chicago Catholic League, good league, Hall of Fame coach. And we knew him from Notre Dame and Arizona State, and he ran a program very similar to ours. And so Coach Zunica calls me and said, "Hey, I got a guy for you, David Wire. He can run. He was at, I think he was at an NAIA in Illinois, and he wanted to go to junior college and kind of start over." And so, you know, I said, "Mike, you said he's a second baseman, right?" And Zuni said, "Yeah, he's a second baseman." I was like, "Mike, you don't understand. I need a second baseman like I need a hole in my face right now. Like, we got 80 of them, right? And we're starving for middle, you know, like shortstops and center fielders, like everybody." And so I literally told Mike, "No." I said, "Yeah, just out of respect for you, I think we need to pass." And I couldn't sleep that night. I was like, I just literally couldn't sleep all night. I called Zuni the next day and it's like, "Hey, we will take him." I don't even remember his name anymore, but yes, the answer is yes. Send him our way. And so David Wire, we ended up going worst to first that year. We won Arizona for Division II, got to go to the Super Regionals. And David Wire, never forget the biggest game, hit and run. And he hit a ball that was over his head. Like, he literally swung vertically at it. Like, this was who he was. Like, he's a police officer now. Like, just, you want the game in his hands, even though he's hitting ninth. Just like the most dependable, like winning person ever. So it was, the lesson was, sorry to go so long. The lesson was, hey, like, when your best contacts say you need to take this guy, stop talking and take this guy, right? Like, it doesn't matter if he's a left-handed shortstop. So anyway, so Ryan, give me a player that you feel like has impacted the way you recruit and will recruit.
You know, I'm going to go off that, but I'm going to go kind of opposite spectrum off of it. Sure. A player I played with was Pat Loeffler. He went to IU, didn't play much, but it was just the background on the kid. I mean, he was the best teammate I've ever been with. I mean, we would not have been the team we were if it wasn't for him. Like, he brought that team chemistry through the roof. And it was like, when you needed a bat, he'd come up and do what he needed to do. But it was just, he was the best team guy there was. And I think to be a good team, you have to have those. And I think for me, learning recruiting wise, like, do your background on guys. Like, you can't just assume, oh, this guy, he's got 70 grade to hit tool, whatever it might be. Like, there's more to him. Like, check his background, call his coaches. Like, this guy might help you in any way that you need.
Well, that's beautiful. Love it. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. Well, I would say during my time up in Alaska, I coached an arm named Eli Morgan, who pitched at Gonzaga. And Eli is now pitching for the Cleveland Indians. And the first pitch that I saw Eli throw, he threw it out of the stadium. Not over the backstop. He threw it out of the stadium. And the second game we played, there was a PFP to first, and he and the runner kind of bumped into each other as they went down, and Eli threw his glove down and shoved the guy and almost started a bench clearing brawl. So those were my first two impressions of him. You know, very strong-willed, liked to long toss every day, including the day after he pitched. You know, didn't want to hear about a pitch count. Was the opposite of what, you know, a homogenized arm that you would see at all these events around the country, but knew who he was, certainly would win the even counts, had a knack for always getting that first out of the inning, and could could repeat and execute his out pitches at a rate that I haven't seen very often. And that really changed what I thought about just what works and what doesn't for pitchers. I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways to make chili, and he certainly showed me a different one.
Oh gosh, that is beautiful. That is really good. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll touch on, I mean, you guys have touched on it a little bit already, but just, I think the first thing that comes to mind is not to underestimate how much loving baseball and really loving like working and getting better and actually loving it is, like, not underestimating that. I mean, we have a kid on our team right now who's young. He redshirted last year as a freshman, Greg Bozzo. But I've seen it on too many teams that I've been on, the influence that a kid that loves it and that cares so much about it that everybody else can't help but feeling the same way. Like, regardless if that guy, you know, Greg's a freshman for us, and he might catch, you know, who knows, but you know, but the impact that he's already had on this group and the impact that guy, I think everyone probably thinks about that guy on a special team. Like, it's hard to find, obviously. Everyone who you talk to will say, oh yeah, he's a big baseball guy. You know, you'll love him, but you know, it's hard to find, but I think when you find those kids, they can be really special and change a team.
Yeah. It's hard to make bad decisions when you got teammates like that. They kind of almost guilt you into good behavior. Yeah. It's beautiful. Yep. Good one. Brandon, go ahead.
We have two brothers on our team this year, Hunter and Gunnar Annalyn, and they come from Riverside City College. And for those of you guys that don't know, Riverside is one of those Southern California junior colleges that didn't have a season last year, right? So you kind of go to your contacts, and it's tough to offer kids that didn't have a season. And so they had some other options in their recruiting process on the East Coast, who had known them, I think, from their high school days. And they came up and showed up here, and, you know, we're like, hey, you guys will get an opportunity to you know, start, but you're going to walk on. And they both looked at us and said, yeah, with the other schools that we looked at, there was too much walking and too much complaining going on. So we want to come here. We'll pay our own way. And you're like, what? You know, like, these guys are saying this at 18 and 19. And ever since they stepped on the field, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. They're just like these baseball rats, plus a little bit of rocket power, plus a little Southern California. And we just got a hitting facility built just this year, and they wear it out. I mean, from morning to night, they're everything that you could ever want in a player. So they awesome. Make us better, whether they get a 1,000 at bats or none.
Brandon, where would those two kids play? What are their positions?
Gunner's an infielder and Hunter is a catcher.
Oh, that's great. And they're twin brothers, you said. They're twins.
No, but they look alike. Hunter is older, but they look alike, and they're the same exact size. And if you yell one, they both turn around. So
that's good.
But they're we just found out that they're not twins. Probably I think like 2 months ago, once we got into official team practice, we found out that they weren't twins.
Oh, that's great. Very good. Well, they're twins to us, so that works. Hunter, go ahead.
Yeah, the player for me, I was actually a unique situation because I played with him for a year, and then my first year coaching, I coached him. So I had a player relationship and a little bit of a coach relationship with him, but his name was Diamond Clark. He started off his collegiate athletic career. He was a DB at IU at Indiana, ended up transferring to Indiana Purdue Fort Wayne to play baseball, and then transferred again to Huntington where I played with him. But he was just an absolute freak athlete, could deadlift, could squat. I mean, could do it all. He's now a gym trainer, has his own gym in Indianapolis. But just the way he went about his business, he was an absolute freak athlete, could run. So when I got the recruiting coordinator job at Huntington, I kind of broke it down into four different categories of players, hitters, runners, bombers, and ball players. So a hitter is someone that's a complete player, is going to hit in the middle of your order, can run, can throw, can play anywhere. It's just probably your absolute dude on your team. A runner is someone that runs like a 6'5", 6'6", 6'6", type player, someone that's going to steal 30, 40 bags a year. A bomber's obviously someone that's going to challenge a fence on every swing that they take. And then a ball player's kind of like your average player, someone that's not the biggest, fastest, strongest, but they're going to find a way to compete. So because of him, I kind of like use that as my tool to how I went about recruiting at the NAIA level. So
that's great. Gosh, yeah, that's the type of athleticism it required to play Big Ten football. It just, those guys are different animal. So, hey boys, final question, and we'll kind of rapid fire this one. So you're going for a job interview, and I'm the one interviewing you, and I'm going to make three phone calls. Tell me who to call. Who are your three top references? Ryan, go ahead.
You hear me? Okay. I would say Chris Lemonis, Kyle Bunn, and Jeff Johnson.
It's a good list right there. That'd be fun for me. We'd love to talk to those guys.
Matt, three good dudes right there.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, first would be my current head coach, Robbie McClellan. Encourage you to give him a call. Second would be Levi Lacey, who was my head coach at Everett Community College and now is working with the Rangers in the Four Corners area. And third would be Pat Bailey, formerly of Oregon State.
Oh, where did you cross paths with Coach Bailey?
First at Everett. They recruited Kyle Novak when I was at Everett Community College. Novak was at Everett for that 1 year. And then just seeing him, he's a presence in the Northwest and just became a friend and a mentor, and it's the best. Awesome.
Is Levi Lacey the scout for the Four Corners, or is he doing something different in the Four Corners?
Yeah. Scout for the Four Corners. Oh, gosh.
I need to introduce myself to him. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Really cool. Chris, go ahead.
Mine's easy. Mine would be the three guys that I work with right now. It would be our head coach, Mike Glavin, Kevin Cobb, and Nick Puccio. They've all, I think they're all great coaches, and they've all done a great job and have been great to me, mentoring me. So that would be quick conference call the office. We'll take care of it.
That's right. Speakerphone. Oh, and Chris, I mean, just like for a lot of you guys, but for you, Chris, like, you know, just speaking someone with a national perspective, I mean, what that coaching staff has accomplished at Northeastern is like, Northeastern is this baseball program that you just like, in many ways could slip out of your mind, but those guys won't let that happen, right? Just, you know, have been so strong in the Colonial, which is really a Southern league. I mean, just remarkable, the success. And you guys are like Nebraska. I feel like if you guys hadn't been sent to Fayetteville last year, who knows, you know, you guys might've been one of those, you know, cheek picks to win a regional. As a really good club. So
thank you. I really appreciate it. We get, you know, a lot of tough Massachusetts kids, and we try to just keep them on the right track and push them in the right way. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you got it. Love it. Go ahead, Brandon.
Probably start with Dave Hansen. Hanny was my hitting coordinator with the Giants. He's a Southern California guy. Willie Chill, he's a third base coach now for the Cubs. Curb. Yeah. What am I talking about? The guy I work for now, Kirby's been around me the longest in my coaching career. So yeah. And you know how deep Curb's connections run. So, definitely those would be my three.
How old were you when you met Curbs for the first time, Brandon? Was it when you were done playing, or you had known him even when you were a player?
No, about a year ago. So I mean, obviously, you know how tight that Southern California baseball tree is. And I reached out to a couple of guys that I leaned on heavy for some advice. They say, get your foot in coaching, and with the way the world is, and you know, one phone call led to another. And that's how I got to know Curb.
Yeah, you're right. Curbs has got a serious college baseball Rolodex now. Come on. He's got a lot of phone numbers in that phone. So that's great.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Hunter, go ahead. Finish this off here.
Yeah, my three would be Mike Frame. He is this is his 38th season at Huntington University. He's a great Christian man. Has coached over thousands of players there. I got the opportunity to play for him and coach for him. Steve Dittman, obviously, I played for him and coach with him now. He does a lot with Team USA Baseball. And then Xander Uxley, he was with PBR Ohio. I played for him, and he's a great dude. Coach was a volunteer at the Division I level for a while. So we've had a few talks here and there about just kind of the situation.
Hey, Hunter, where was Xander a volunteer? Where was he previously?
He was at University of Albany in New York. He was there for a couple of years. I can't remember when it was. It's been a few years, but he was there for a while. So
that's awesome. Good stuff. Gentlemen, I am sad to say we have just burned through an hour, and it happens every week. It goes so fast. It's so fun. I really appreciate all your guys' insight. I took some great notes and stole some great stuff. Like I said, when we started, I hope this is, you know, we've got a text thread going. Definitely stay in touch throughout the season for sure. I'll put some stuff on there tonight. You know, some stuff that I'm diving into leadership wise, you know, podcasts and books. And I hope you guys will do the same. Share some stuff that you're leaning into that's helping you grow as a coach. You know, for the audience, I want to say thanks again to Netting Professionals, their presenting sponsor. These guys are awesome. Huge sponsors of our sport. They are the presenting sponsor for the show. We're going to keep going. We'll be back here next Sunday night, every Sunday through the year. We have a couple already scheduled for January. Gentlemen, really appreciate your time and your insights, and we will catch everyone else next Sunday. Have a good one.